He's a good God, isn't he?
Amen, all the time.
Michael, thank you. Gary, would you mind taking up the offering for me? And then if you'll just leave it on the sound booth. Steve, there's membership class tonight for anyone who's interested. Hello, Isaiah. Y'all, isn't that the most handsome man right there walking in? I'm telling you. It had to happen, Isaiah. Oh, God is so good. Tonight we're going to be on 1 John chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 1 through 3. And we're going to talk about the three B's tonight. Then we may surprise you with the fourth one. Can anybody tell me, what would you do if there was danger coming? If you just knew there was danger coming for someone, what would you do to get their attention? Yell?
Pray?
Wave your hands? You know, do anything you could? What? Warn them. You definitely would. And what if there was something that was wonderful and you didn't want somebody to miss it? What would you do to get their attention?
Oh, baby, I'd say, "Shake me, come here, come here, come here."
Yeah, you get excited. Well, we're going to start off tonight, and I'm going to read you verses 1 through 3, and I'm going to read tonight out of the King James Version. "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that we shall appear when he shall appear. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself, even as he," talking about God, "is pure." So whatever's in him is going to be in me. I can receive that. So tonight we're going to look at, first of all, we're going to look at behold. We were talking about, you know, if there's danger, something wonderful. And the word behold actually means to take special note of something. And it's a command to focus on the subject at hand. So John's coming in and he's saying, hey, behold. That word actually means, have you ever seen where there's like a statue and they have a curtain around it, or you know, like on The Price is Right or something, and they have a curtain and then it drops or opens and it's like, oh, the big reveal. That's what behold is. It's something important that's coming that you need to focus on. And I'm going to tell you, I believe the reason that it represents the curtain falling is because the curtain tore in the temple when Jesus came back, and the big reveal's here. And John's saying, I don't want you to miss it. And what happens here, if he's saying focus on the subject, so what's the subject of behold? Love. Behold what manner of love. So we're going to take just a minute. We're going to talk about what kind of love he's talking about. I see four different kinds of love here. The first kind of love he's saying to take note of. There's an unveiling. Don't miss out on this. Number one is unmerited. Romans 5:8 says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. That you didn't have to do anything for that. It's unmerited. There was no, you need to do this. It was while we, you and I, were yet sinners. Let's be clear. We're born into sin. We have to choose him. He's wanting us by a willful choice to say, I want you. You think anybody ever got married without a shotgun being involved where it wasn't by a willful choice, right? A willful choice. And John 4, 9 through 10 says, his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. Genesis 32, 10 through 11. Jacob is crying out for mercy from God because he knows he did his brother wrong and he thinks that Esau's coming to kill him. And he cries out to the Lord in Genesis and he said, hey, not because of anything good I've done, but just have mercy on me. And God did. So it's that kind of love is unmerited. His love is undying. His love is never going to stop. When my mom and dad died, listen, that love stopped. But the love of God never stops. I still can experience it. I have memories of my mom and dad, but I don't have that fellowship. John's all about the fellowship. Stay in fellowship. It's what keeps you in love with him and keeps you connected to him. It's undying. Solomon says that many waters can't quench his love. Jeremiah said that we're loved with an everlasting love. And Paul's going to give us an account in Romans 8, and I want you to help me with something. We're going to have practice here. If I lift my hand up, when I lift my hand up, I want you to say as loud as you can the word not, N-O-T. Ready?
Not.
Okay. Get ready. Here we go. This is what he says.
Not.
Tribulation.
Not.
Duress.
Not.
Persecution.
Not.
Famine.
Not.
Weakness.
Not.
Danger. Any weapon?
Not.
Death?
Not.
Life?
Not.
Angels?
Not.
Principalities?
Not.
That word principality is like a ruler. The root word there's principal. Your principal is the one who's in charge of the school. The world is in charge right now of principalities. And if you have not realized that there's a dark fallout going on right now, let me just wake you up and tell you. But what?
Not.
Principalities. Powers, things present, things to come. You're wearing down. Stay with me. Height, depth, any creature, nothing, anything, ever is going to separate us from his love. It's undying, guys. And when you realize that covered every situation you or I are ever going to face. So I have to recognize that his love isn't like other people's where it can come and go. But if his love grows cold, guess who's the one who did it? It's me, not him. His love, the third thing I see is it's always abiding. It's always staying with you. It doesn't roll off. It doesn't dissipate. It doesn't erode. His love doesn't get grossed out by me. His love now abides. Corinthians tells us, now abides faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is
love.
It's always going to abide. Yeah, when I was pregnant with Charity, we were going to, you know, we couldn't settle on a name. All my life, Amy Renee, that was going to be her name. All my life. And so, no, Steve wasn't having it because Amy Grant was our friend. He said, everybody's going to say we named her after Amy. I'm like, I don't care. I don't live around them. And he's like, you can't name her Amy. So I was like, oh, and he travels. So one night I was reading the Word, and I read that in the King James where it says, now abideth faith, hope, and charity. But the greatest of these is charity. And I was like, that's her name. So I called him. I said, here's her name. You can't change it. It's settled. He goes, okay, I'll go with that name. But I wanted it to just be something that represented who God was. Because I'm going to tell you something. I believe your name is important over you. And I believe we need to quit calling ourselves what the world calls us and what we call ourselves that's against the Word of God and say what God says about us.
Amen.
So the fourth thing I see is his love is unfailing. Paul says in Corinthians, love never fails. Jeremiah says, your compassions, they fail not. Listen, the Old Testament is filled with the stories of God's faithfulness. And this is before Jesus. You and I have no excuse, okay? Because we have the power of Jesus alive and active. You're not going to get this deal anywhere else. You're not going to get this deal anywhere else. You're not going to get it in any other religion. You're not going to get it from any of the cultural things that the world says, just rely on this. You're not going to get it from going and staring at the ocean and, you know, making humming noises and, you know, whatever else it is. You will be lifted because you're in nature, and nature was created by God. But I don't worship God. I don't worship nature. I worship God, the creator of nature. Okay? But yes, you're going to have a peace out there because his presence brings peace, and nature is who he is. It is his character. It is his creation. So you're not going to get it. But it's, guess what it was through? Guess how we found out? Remember all the knots? That's how you're going to know who he is. Now I'm going to go back and I'm going to read them to you without the knots. And this is how I know he's provided for everything that you're going to go through. And the enemy is a liar, and he wants you to believe that if you go through these things, then God's not that close to you. But here's what he said, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. Through tribulation, distress, persecution, famine. There's 17 of them, and I added three. Weakness, danger, any weapon, death, life, angels, because there's demonic angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height, depth, any creature. There's nothing, there's not anything, and there's never going to be anything to be greater than him. So if we weren't going to have those things, why would he take the time? Why would he take the time to say, I'll never leave you during these things? I'm going to tell you why. Because the enemy's pouring out and he's spewing out a bunch of lies to get you to think that God doesn't care and God's not there. And guys, you go back and you reread this word in Romans 8, 35 through 39, and you're going to find that he already told you some things you're going to go through, but he said, I'm never going to leave you through them. He didn't say you weren't going to have them. He said you're going to overcome them. And so I just want to break that off of anybody right now who's in the Sandy Pettis. She's in heaven right now, but she used to call it the Wody Woes. If there's anybody in the Wody Woes, I just want to tell you, you need to shake up and wake up and realize that the devil's a liar and he wants to get you to separate yourself from God's presence because he can't take the love of God away from you. But if you get in agreement with him that God's mean or God's unjust, you'll move away. Hey, good news, turn around because he's pursuing you. Turn around from that thought pattern and recognize he's for me. So we get to the word then, bestowed. What manner of love the Father has bestowed. That's our second B tonight. The word bestow, it's a measure. This has been bestowed on you. You know, like if we took at the end of the year when we look at the volunteer of the year and we just bestow on them a plaque and an honor for just being faithful. They didn't get paid for it. We just bestow that honor on them. When you come in, sometimes you realize that some people just want to love on you. When you're dating especially, things are just bestowed on you. And you look at that and it's just like lavish. And the only way I know to describe lavish is like soap. I saw this thing where this guy was showing about how soap could just make all this bubbles, and he just kept doing it, and pretty soon it just got bigger and bigger, and it was flowing over onto the floor, and they were trying to show how goat milk soap does have bubbles, and, you know, it can do all this for you, and it just kept bubbling and bubbling. I thought, that's like lavish. That's like how he lavishes his love on us. The more things are rubbing us, the more his love just expands and it gets bigger and it overflows. Bestowed. It's a measure. It's a literal lavishing. Bestowed also means some kind of the manner or the way. And it means it's not a one-sided thing for him, but for us it is. Because he never expects anything in return. So when he says this is bestowed on you, it's one way, okay? I have bestowed on my children when they were born the last name Van Zandt. There's nothing to do, but they were born. And so they take on that name. So bestowed also, I want you to realize that tonight the notes that you got were bestowed on you. You didn't do anything to earn those notes. Made sure you had those notes. Thank you, Michael, so faithful to pass them out. But you got your notes. That was bestowed on you. The coffee, that's bestowed on you. Y'all, we don't even have a sign that says donations. You ready with me? Like, that's bestowed on you. Pastries, we just bestowed that blessing on you. He's wanting you to understand. He's saying, look at this. It's a great love. It's being measured out to you, and it's a one-way giving. Third thing we see tonight is beloved. Beloved. That's a tender. That's a tender talk. You don't go in the, you know, the grocery store and, you know, somebody tells you, you know, hey, move that buggy. Oh, yes, beloved, I'll be happy to move that. You don't do that. But boy, when you have a little baby, oh, you're the cutest little, I just love you, right? And when you come in, beloved also is not just something that is a tender term, but it's a direct term. You know, just who you're talking to. You don't just walk and go, well, hello, beloveds. It's directed to someone. And John is wanting you to see that his love is directed to you. It's just for you. You didn't do anything to deserve it. It's going to abide with you. It's based on love. Look at this. There should be a big curtain in front of that cross every Easter that we just drop to say, notice how special this is. Museums, when they get something priceless, they have a big opening and they drop the curtain and you see how valuable it is. John is wanting you to recognize you're going to have persecution. We talked about that in chapter 1. Chapter 2, there's going to be Gnostics. There's going to be people who water down who Jesus is. But he's saying, hey, you look at the value of this. You precious, bought with a price, one-way giving, tender, brother, sister. You recognize what you've been given. And I'm telling you, if there's ever a word we needed, it's today. We are forgetting who we are. We are forgetting who we said we are. We're looking at other people for our happiness. We're looking for jobs. We're looking for money. We're looking for satisfaction from friends and spouses and extended family. And guys, I'm not saying people shouldn't love you. What I'm saying is you can't expect unconditional, undying, abiding love from anybody in this room. Because we're all going to have our down times. But the enemy gets you to look at how other people are and you forget how you are. So tonight I'm going to remind you who we are. We are sinners who are saved by grace. But we have an unmerited favor on us of God that I can say to me when I have fear and doubt, nope, I'm not doing it. I am not getting in agreement with that. I'm not going to get on a big soapbox here, even though I've talked about lavish. But I want you to understand something tonight. We are taking ownership of dark things and accepting them that they have to be, and they don't. They do not. I can't make people's choices for them. I'd just like for all of you to just come to that understanding tonight. And you can say it for yourself. I can't make people's choices. I can only make my choices. And some of you are so frustrated because you want to make other people's choices. Can I get an amen? Amen. Well, there's some honest people in here tonight. Amen. But here's, I can't even make myself do some things. Who's with me? I mean, there are days I'm just like, God, I heard that alarm, and I don't want to get up. It's a true story. I'm going to put the cover over my head and tabernacle with you right here. And I just feel like he just laughs at me, and I'll just get under those covers and be like, God, I know it feels good, but I just want you to know I'm tabernacling with you. And boy, before you know it, 20 or 30 minutes has passed. I'm like, dude, I got to get up. I got to get rolling. And I have to will myself to do it, right? Anybody else in here on the Daniel fast? Yeah, okay. So I have to make a choice not to eat the things that I want to eat. And I'm telling y'all today, I could hear the Panera cookies from the kitchen saying, come and eat me. I'm so alone. I'll be your friend. I'll make today better. Right? And I'm like, why can I not stop that? Because I have to make a choice. Just quit laughing at me, Angela. Y'all don't even know. 3 hours today, I worked on my computer, okay? The printer is not printing, okay? this Jeremy will back me up on this. I have witnesses. So I said, I'm tired of the network. I don't want to hear about Wi-Fi. Hardwire it to my computer and we're just done. No, we could not get it to work. So he got it to work one time. I sat down. It didn't work anymore. And then all of a sudden, the printer in the front office starts working with me. And that hadn't worked in forever. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to take it. I could do it from my phone, but would not let me. 3 hours later, I'm like, I'm done. And that's when the cookies started calling my name. Because I'm worn down. Are you with me? Yeah, let's all laugh about it. It's funny. But I'm telling you, there's a darkness right now that is wearing down your soul. And we've got to stand up to it. Because when you get worn down, you start hearing, oh, Linda, you deserve this. Oh, look how bad it's been for you. Don't you think if God knew, where's God? Where's all those Christians now? Distress, turmoil, worry, death, principalities, powers, you're going to have them. But you and I have to stand up and say, I'm not owning that depression. I'm not owning that disease. Listen, I get it. They can have medical proof. They've told you will have this. Your parents had it. It is in your DNA. It's a certain thing. And I tell you what, don't you say that on me. I'm not going to have that. I'm going to believe what God says. Does that mean I'm going to be stupid and go down there and inhale the cookies? No. Not that I don't want to. Not that I don't think I deserve it. Not that that wasn't an unfair thing that happened to me with that printer for 3 hours and got me off track. But I'm telling you, I am going to choose to believe God. I'm going to choose it. When he calls me beloved, you have to know, and I want you to say this after me, because this is what he's saying. I am a child of God. That was not 100% participation. We'll try it again. I am a child of God. Now, that was kind of a ripple effect. Let's on the count of three. One, two, three.
I am a child of God.
I believe you. Okay, I believe you now. All right, I'm just saying. If you wanted a cookie and I said, who wants to go to the cookie counter? Y'all talk loud. I'm just saying. So you got to be for it. I want you to ingrain that. I want you to write that down. That is your homework for the rest of this week, is to say to yourself and to all those thoughts, I am a child of God. He's given you. Behold, he's bestowed this on you, beloved. Do you know who you are? Or are you believing that you're nobody? Do you really believe that you're insignificant? I'd like to ask all the spouses in here, is it insignificant when somebody says something mean to you that you married? Oh, y'all ain't raising no hands now. They've been, oh, geez, we've been to wed to worship. We ain't saying nothing. We don't want to cause no strife. Be honest with yourself. Be honest that the people at work can give you a look that you don't fit in, and the rest of the day you're ruined. What did I do? How come I wish I could? That person in your family who keeps putting you down and you keep letting them because you believe they have power over you. They do, because their words are not lining up with the Word of God. What will you believe? What will you believe? That's your fourth B tonight. You've got to know what you believe. I believe I'm a child of God. Well, Gay, what is it that causes me not to believe? Listen, I'll give you three things, and there's probably more, but I'm just going to name three, okay? The number one reason I believe people don't believe is pride. You want to control a situation because you really believe that you have a better idea and a better opinion than God. And your pride says, make it happen now, because I don't want to wait on God. And really, here's a big handle. Steve always says this is the handle to the tool. But pride is the handle to the tool, and you can put the name on the end of the tool as control, as fear. But it's really pride, because you don't want God to be wrong, and you don't want to be wrong, and you want the Word to work out the way you want it to work out. And I want to tell you, let me just give you a clue. If you want to stay in darkness, keep believing you know better than God. Keep telling him, oh, I don't want it. How come you did this? Would you say that how come you did this is a praise? Would you say that's a praise or an accusation? I'm waiting on you. Who's the accuser? So who am I in agreement with? Well, Gay, there's no way you can overcome today. You overcame the cookies today, but tomorrow there'll probably be a pumpkin muffin in there, and you're probably just going to go for it. So you just might as well make up your mind that one little fall every now and then isn't going to be bad. Even the Bible says, in all things be done in moderation, so how bad could that be? I'm going to tell you how bad it is. And this isn't that I'm preaching sugar. I'm preaching discipline. And I'm telling you, if you lower your standard here, you'll lower it again quicker. I'm running from those things, not to them. Are you with me tonight? But I have to believe. So the first thing I think is pride. Pride always wants somebody to prove that they're worthy. Well, I did this, so I should get this. Well, you didn't do that. You shouldn't get it. The second reason I think people don't believe certainly is unbelief. If you can't wrap your brain around miracles, if you can't wrap your brain around the fact that sometimes no is an answer from God, you're not going to believe. And the third thing I really see why people don't believe is literally just time. They haven't had enough time to experience life. They haven't had enough trials. There hadn't been enough time passed from when they had a victory to the next thing. But what do all those things have in common that keep us from believing? Well, I found a common denominator, and I'll tell you what it is. You have a good old trial. You have a good old temptation. You have a good old somebody up in your face. And you'll let go of your pride, and you'll believe God, and the timing will be now. I need you now. I don't care what I look like. I don't care what I said. I don't care what they did. I'm needing you up in here now. And so I have to believe. Ephesians 2:8 says, it's by grace that you're saved through faith, not yourselves, and it's a gift from God. Do you realize that Jesus said 7 times in Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount, 7 times he called God our Father. I am a child of God. I want you to know there were times my kids were embarrassed by me, and I knew it. And it hurt my feelings, and I just pretend I wasn't with them if I thought they were ashamed of me. With me? But they were still my kids. They still belong to me. You are a child of God. Whether you're ashamed to lift your hands, that's okay. He'll meet you where you are. Are you ashamed that people are going to say, oh, you need to go do that? Well, you think you're so holy. Listen, I want to tell you something. I'm not holy. I'm saved by grace, and I know it. And I got enough trouble without going and getting in agreement with it. And lowering my standard because I'm weak and can't stand up to persecution means I need to get in with the one who can help me, stabilize me. And when I recognize, he's saying, when you recognize, I'm a child of God. Look what he's done. He's bestowed this. I didn't do one thing to deserve it. He loves me regardless of how many times I screw up and I mess up. He has come in and he's showing me something of value. Behold, look out, watch this. You're a child of God. And we make it like it's just a little patty cake sing song for Sunday school. It's powerful. Say it again. I'm a child of God. Here's the thing. If you believe that saving money for retirement is smart, you'll save money. If you believe that not flossing and brushing your teeth is going to bring you cavities and a dentist bill, you'll floss and brush your teeth. If you believe that trusting God is better than trusting yourself, you'll do it. And once again, what is the common denominator there? If. Some people hadn't had enough life experience. If you've never watched anybody struggle in retirement and had to help people like we do with groceries or whatever, then you start believing, oh, you know, I need to save up a little here. If you've never been to a dentist and experienced pain and the drill, like my blood pressure goes right with the drill. I hate it, right? So I'm going to do whatever I can not to have to have that pain inflicted on me. And if I trust me, and I'm going to use, guys, I just told you, I can use the Word of God to condone my foolishness. I've got to know not just what His Word says, but I've got to know His character behind the Word. Because every crooked lawyer can find a loophole. But Jesus is not looking for the loophole. He's looking for victory and for you to get in agreement with Him. Boy, I love Him. I love Him. I am His child, and I believe what He said about me. So my belief, guys, has to have a release of His power to keep me believing, right? My belief has to have a release of His power. I have to experience that power. I don't have to understand it. I don't have to figure it out. I don't need an equation, and we sure don't need formulas. And I want to tell you, anybody who gives you a formula is selling you something. Because there's sometimes I can just pray and I'll just feel a peace. And I didn't do anything. I didn't say, oh, forgive me, I'm wicked, I'm evil. I just get in there and go, oh, my God, God, oh, God. I just, oh, Lord, help me, oh, God, oh. And I don't think about what I did right. And I don't think about what I did wrong. And all of a sudden, all I know is I just have peace. It's a life experience. But guys, that release, that anointing, that Spirit of God that raises up within me is proof to me that He can do what the enemy can't. Because you're never going to do enough to have peace. You know what you'll do? You'll bargain. Oh, the devil's a bargain hunter. He'll come to you and he'll say, you know, if you just did this, this temptation would go off you. If you just did this one little thing, this ain't going to hurt. Nobody's even going to know. Don't put it on Facebook. Don't send it on Instagram. Nobody will ever know. You know. You know. And then he's going to use the same bat to come back and make you feel bad about what you did because you got in agreement with him to keep you separated from the love of God when all you have to say is, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. I didn't expect my teenagers to be perfect. I didn't expect them to be rebellious. But I didn't expect them to be perfect. I knew why, because they're still learning. And let me just say, the person they're going to learn from the most is the one they live with the most. So that means my mistakes, I need to own up to show them how to get out of it quicker. And what I get right, I need to give credit to God for it. Because kids need to know that God's the one who gets the glory and the praise. So man, you know, she laying it on tonight. My belief and release of His power have to come. But those things, the release of His power, is going to require one of those 17 things that He's named that He'll be with you through. That He'll love you through, that He'll never deny you through. That's when you're going to experience His power. That's when you will experience the goodness and the unconditional, unmerited, never dying, abiding love of God. And I'm telling you, the devil is lying to you and telling you the situation you're in. You dug your hole, you're going to have to deal with it. You made your bed, you're going to have to sleep in it. You did this, now here's the consequences. That person's never going to change. You're going to be miserable forever. And just wear you and wear you and wear you. And we have to turn around and say, nope, I am a child of God. Deal with that. Show me His unfaithfulness. prove to me he won't answer, because he's going to prove to you he will. And I'm not afraid of you, because I know who my Father is, and I am a child of God. And if you believe it, you'll say it. If you don't believe it, you won't. Well, that crazy gay, she went off again on us. For those who may be listening, that is my name. That crazy gay, she's up there just going off again this week. Let me tell you something. I'm going off because I don't want you to go down. And I believe there is something being outpoured right now that is trying to snatch you from your decision to raise up. I believe there's been a raising up of your spirit to do better. I believe there's been a raising up of your spirit to attain to something God wants you to attain to. And all hell is being unleashed on people who want to raise up and worship God to get you not to do it. Because the enemy cannot stand it. And there is a sound that is arising. I'm telling you, it's arising. If the darkness wasn't getting darker, I wouldn't believe it. But I believe it because the darkness always comes to steal something of value. The darkness, the trial, the temptation, the lack of peace are all proof that you have value. Or else he wouldn't mess with you. And that's why you have to say, ooh, thanks for the reminder. I'm a child of God. I'm marked for the blessing of God. I'm marked for him, not so I don't have these things, but because he's going to get me through these things. And listen to me. Who can be in agreement with me tonight? He's not just going to get me through it. He's going to get me through it with the lesson, the proof, and the power that he's the one who's going to do it. And that he'll do it consistently. Guys, it's not just a, well, you know, we had one good service. That's going to be enough for a while. No, no, no. Every service, you're going to experience the power of God. Every time you pray, you are going to experience the power of God. Every time you cry out, you will experience the power of God. But you have to cry out because you believe that he is beholding you. You're precious. That he is bestowing on you, not because you deserve it, and he is giving you his beloved, because you have the blood of sacrifice flowing in your veins. And I believe this for you, whether you can believe it for yourself or not. And I want you just to stand with me tonight. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says that I will walk. We walk by faith and not by sight. Romans 10:17 says that faith comes not by hearing, it comes not by sight, but hearing and hearing by the word of God. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we can come to God. And Romans 8:25 says that if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait on it. Stop giving God a time limit. I don't know how else to say it to you, but it's love. I want you to understand me. You can't give God time limits. Well, I've waited. How long do I have to wait? Does that sound like a mature adult, or does that sound like a spoiled child? Thank you. How many parents are hearing that? Well, why do I don't want to? Listen. Unbelief is there because the timing isn't right for you. Be patient. If you really hope for what you don't see, wait for it. I'm not giving up on what God has promised me for you. You, Deja, you. I'm not giving up on what God has promised me for you, Christine, for you. And I don't care if you give up. I'm not. And I don't care, Anna. I'm believing for you that you're going to rise up and have that anointing and that platform that you believed God for. I believe this. But I want to tell you something. We've already settled it. I can't make your choice for you. But if you believe, I am a child of God, that means you don't have to be the adult. Hello and hallelujah. That means you can climb into that lap. Anytime and say, God, I just I feel like it's more than I can stand. I'm under such oppression. I'm under such darkness. I just need to hear your voice, because hearing his word is what ignites your faith. And faith is the evidence that you believe him more than the enemy. You don't have to have proof to have faith. Is that a revelation? You just have to keep believing. God's going to do it for you, Annette. You don't have to labor and cry and weep and rake yourself over words of discouragement. You're going to have it, Annette. It's already in you. Amen. Good old bored little sister. I am a child of God. And sometimes you need to get in the mirror and say that to yourself. You know what? I'm a child of God. I'm not lost. The love that they aren't giving me, the love that they're withholding from me, God, make it up to me. Just lavish me with your love today, where I don't care what they think about me anymore. It hurts me to be rejected, but God, I just love on me today. Is there anybody in this room who'll just lift their hand and say, I know what that feels like when he loves on me?
Amen.
Look at these testimonies and witnesses. So I just want you to bow your head right now. I'm just going to pray over you. God, whatever the darkness is that is trying to penetrate through the faith of our belief in you, tonight, God, we affirm and we say, I'm a child of God. Lord, you have called me your friend. You've called me a son. You've called me a daughter. You've called me a bride. You've called me victorious. You've called me God. You've called me by name. And my name is engraved in the palm of your hand. And my name is not just written in the Lamb's Book of Life waiting for the return of Jesus, but my name is written in the Book of Remembrance. Because every time I choose you over me, you remember that. It's not my sin that you remember. It's when I choose you. God, I just want to thank you for that tonight. I just want to ask you, God, right now, that all belief that darkness will overtake be broken off by the power of the message that nothing is impossible to God, and all things are possible to him who believes. Father, I just thank you for that tonight. Ingrain that in our hearts, I pray. In Jesus' name. What do you believe about yourself tonight? You believe that's just a message for everybody else but you? Do you know the beauty in the word covers my weaknesses? Do you know that that scripture out of Mark 9:23 that I just quoted in prayer that says, you know, all things are possible to him who believes? Do you know that in verse 24, the man looks at Jesus and said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. What an honest prayer. What an honest prayer. Get honest with God and tell him, I've believed for this, but I can't believe for that. And if God's asking you to abstain, abstain from it, because he's trying to save you from something hurtful. And if God has said, go for it, you better go for it, because he wants to give you something wonderful. But you need to know whose voice you're listening to, and I'll tell you how you'll know it. He'll wait for you. You don't have to feel like, I got to do it now. It has to happen. Tick, 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 tick. You, none of that. None of that. You'll have peace. And tonight, I'm declaring peace and rest over you. I'm declaring this darkness go. And if you have to walk in your house tonight and go, darkness, get out of here. I'm a child of God. Go ahead and do it. Right?
Amen.
I want you to believe what he said about you tonight. And you've had all these words. And John is saying, if you will stay in agreement and realize who you are, and the value that he has for you, the one-way giving value, you won't give in, because you'll recognize his love for you, and it'll keep you moving forward. Believe what he says about you, and you will be victorious. Amen? Oh, God is so good, you guys. And I don't care if that printer ever works. I really don't. And I just, you know what? You just got to move forward and keep walking. All right? Anybody in here doesn't know the difference between something dark and something light, something oppressive and something helpful? Anybody doesn't understand that? Okay. We all got it tonight. Walk in peace, get your rest, and let everybody else off the hook and just trust Him. Yeah. Amen? Amen? And I believe in that. Say it.